Good morning. It's always an interesting moment when, as a preacher, you look at the topic that you've been given to preach on. So I'm going to start with a confession. Personally, I find sermons with a theme by far the most difficult to preach on. Give me a text that I can wrestle with, that I can read around, that's, you know, honed down from the very beginning. But a one-word theme like today, oh dear, not so easy. The first few weeks in our Advent series, the next few weeks even in our Advent series, we're looking at some of the wonderful titles of Jesus. And today we're looking at our first, Emmanuel. So as I sat down at my desk, PC and Bible open, and brain frankly empty, I was reminded of something that one of my lecturers at college regularly said. He told us that in preaching, we only needed to communicate two things. Firstly, what kind of God? And secondly, so what? In other words, what does the aspect of God that we're highlighting in the sermon mean for us as we live out our lives day by day? I'll come back to those. We first find the word Emmanuel in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Jerusalem is under siege and things are looking very uncertain. Isaiah the prophet brought a word to the king, Ahaz, a sign that God was with them. His words were these. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. It's often the case with biblical prophecy that there's a fulfillment at the time. In this case, a young woman, perhaps Isaiah's wife, would give birth as a sign of hope for the future, and then have an ultimate one later with the life of Jesus. And so much later, after the angel has shown Joseph who Mary's baby really was, Matthew comments, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. So in a way, the question, what kind of God, is the easiest to answer. He is the God who is with us. But just think about that for a moment. The God who breathes out stars, the God who controls every wave, the God who created everything on our planet and beyond in the entire universe, this God is with us. Wow. So easy to take that for granted. What about the second question? So what? What does it mean for us? And to do that, we're going to take a short trip from Genesis through to Revelation. Are you up for that? It's not often we span the entire Bible in 20-ish minutes. We're going to travel at a brisk pace. So get your seatbelts on. So first of all, Jesus is with us when we have nothing. Some words from Genesis chapter 39. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything that he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of the household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Why start there? We need to understand the context. Joseph had been horribly betrayed by his brothers and handed to the Ishmaelites, a group of nomadic tribes descended from Abraham's disastrous liaison with Hagar. They in turn sold him to the Egyptian official Potiphar. But there are two things that are really important to notice. First of all, slaves at that time were sold naked, so that those who were buying them could tell that they had no injuries or anything wrong with them. Joseph literally did not even have the coat on his back. He had absolutely nothing. Sometimes that may be true for us. It might be materially, it might be emotionally, it might be in sheer energy. We are all in. God is with us, though, even at those moments. He is there, even when we have nothing left. Then there's a little phrase that we could miss. The Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Potiphar's whole house and family were impacted by God's presence with Joseph. And that's true for us too. Our homes, our workplaces, the shops we visit, we carry the fragrance of Jesus, an unspoken blessing everywhere that we go. We don't have to do anything. Although we can add in what I call a subversive blessing. On a bus, in a shop, walking in Christchurch, see who catches your eye. Pray a silent blessing. You never know what impact that simple prayer might have. Then secondly, Jesus is with us when we are hiding or afraid. Some words from the start of Gideon's story. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now, I have to confess that Gideon's one of my favourites, but we can only pop in on him in our brief tour. By the time of Gideon, the people were on the verge of starvation. They were being regularly attacked by the Midianites, their long-term enemies. The Israelites would grow crops with all the hard work that entailed, only for the Midianites to swoop down at harvest time and take all of it. And they'd had 7 years of this. 7 years. 7 years of living in fear, every year hopes being dashed, humiliated and angry and hungry, again. God was going to save his people, but he chose someone we would never have chosen. Gideon is hiding out in a hole in the ground, threshing wheat somewhere that would not work at all. He himself says later that he's a good choice. He's the youngest in his family in the least respected tribe, the overlooked one. But God sees something in him that he did not see in himself. The greeting of the angel was incredibly ironic. Greeting him as a mighty warrior. This is a man who's hiding out. It's a bit like an angel coming to me and saying, "Greetings, genie, world athlete." It's not going to happen. You are allowed to laugh. There is a sort of deep irony there. Gideon's not feeling like a mighty warrior, but he is going to become one. And it's the same for us. I know sometimes I hide from God or from others. I wonder if you do. And sometimes I am afraid. But here's the truth. Because God is with us, he can see things in all of us that we would never see in ourselves. So what might God be whispering to you this morning? The Lord is with you. What comes next? Our next stop takes us from Advent to Easter, and some words from Luke 24, showing that Jesus is with us, hidden at times, but never absent. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. It's probably a familiar story to many of us. As far as these two, I think for various reasons, probably a couple, know Jesus is dead. They are having a heated debate, perhaps about the stories of the women that the tomb was empty. Jesus draws alongside them, asking them what they're talking about. And Cleopas, of course, is surprised that he doesn't know. But Jesus, who is the best counselor of all time, says, "What things?" He allows them simply to tell out their story, which they needed to do. You see, Jesus was with them, but in those moments he was hidden from them. Not absent, but hidden. Perhaps some of us have known times in our lives when it's felt as though God was not there. But this wonderful story reminds us that he is there. He is walking with us, even when we cannot sense him. If that's us or someone we know, our prayer can be that, like for those two people, we will experience Jesus again, perhaps even in the breaking of bread. If it would help you, there's bread and wine, gluten-free, alcohol-free, available at the front here for you to quietly come as we worship later after the sermon. If you would appreciate a few moments, simply you and God. Our penultimate stop. Jesus is with us as we go out in mission. We're all looking forward to that new building, aren't we? Some of you are. With all of the promise that it holds. But equally, we all know this shiny new building is not about us. It's about these words, Jesus' final words in Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." That is what this new building is about. Jesus is with us, wonderfully so. He will be in moments of celebration that we hold there, particularly, I'm guessing, the opening and Easter and all of those wonderful moments. He will be equally with us there in moments of sadness or remembrance. But his promise is not just for us. It is for those precious people who will discover that Jesus is with them, their friend, their rescuer. Jesus will be with us as we take possession of the new building to say, "Church family, go for it. Go love those he's placed around you. Go love them into the kingdom." And now for our final stop. We started at Genesis and we finish at Revelation. You still buckled up. Jesus is with us, and he will be with us when everything is made right. Revelation chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" We only need to look at the news, don't we, to know that not all is as God intends, and how so much of it must break his heart, as it should ours. But dear sisters and brothers, what we see now, even the glorious truth we've been talking about, that God is with us, it is not the end of the story. A day is coming when our wonderful Jesus, whose birth we will celebrate soon, our Emmanuel, will turn the world the right way up again. No more sin, no more tears, no more war, no more tyrants, no more violence, no more children starving or mistreated, no more death. And all that was started when God chose to dwell with us. This, dear church family, is our hope. Emmanuel, God is with us. Let's pray together.